Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. We're back.
Welcome back.
Oh, okay. Is that what you're doing?
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Alan's trying to get signed, I guess. It's not going
to
happen.
That's a throwback to an earlier generation. My people, Welcome Back, Cotter.
Everybody, I was old enough for Welcome Back, Cotter.
Okay, well.
I never watched it.
Seemed like you didn't know the song.
Yeah, no, I knew the song for sure. So we're still in Black History Month.
We are.
Still. So you are.
And
you
I promised.
Yes.
I promised that every episode this month.
You would have a Black History financial fact.
That's right.
Go for it.
You're just going to put me on the spot?
Yes. Like, 100%. This was your thing.
You remembered this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, fine, Tiffany, since you put me on the spot. How about today we talk about Jeremiah Hamilton? Have you heard of Jeremiah Hamilton, Tiffany?
No.
Okay. Jeremiah Hamilton was a Wall Street broker and the only Black millionaire in New York in the early 1800s.
Okay.
Okay. He built a fortune that at that time was valued at $2 million. In today's dollars, that would be worth about $250 million. And this is during slavery. Like, he died in 1875. So by 1835, he already had $5 million in assets.
So what happened to the Hamiltons' empire? Like, where'd the money go?
Well, okay. Since you asked. well, first, let me just talk about how he made his money, right? So
Wall Street.
Yeah, it was Wall Street. It was buying and selling. There was a big fire in 1835, and it destroyed a lot of buildings. And he was able to go in and buy up real estate really cheap. And that's how he really made his fortune. And
gentrification the other way.
Yeah.
I guess.
People hated this guy. They called him the Prince of Darkness.
I'm sure.
They also called him N-Word Hamilton. That was his other nickname.
That's probably what his homeboys called him, too.
He also married a white woman, and that was very controversial at the time.
Hamilton's wildin'.
Yeah.
I know where the money went. You don't gotta, I got it.
So, yeah, he's not really much mentioned in the history book. Yeah.
I don't know how this was controversial. It started off smooth, and it got a little rocky.
Yeah, he's not really very talked about, but I think sometimes people like Jeremiah Hamilton aren't mentioned because it's like, you know, for one, it would give us, I don't know, like maybe it would give us too much hope to know that we've had millionaires. Like, this ain't
a new
thing.
That's not what it is.
What is it then? Why don't you know about Jeremiah Hamilton?
Because this is speculation. I'm just now hearing about this story for the first time.
Okay.
Jeremiah Hamilton, like, a lot of his wealth probably ended up in an all-white family. Like, he didn't...
That's possible.
The legacy was very short-lived amongst African-Americans. You know what I mean? Like, he was a blip in time, and while it was like, I don't want to take away from what he was able to accomplish, like, it's super meaningful, but that wasn't the beginning of a wealth story for Black people.
Not necessarily.
Know what I mean? So
that's
probably why he doesn't get, like, if his children and, like, this went, you know, on and on and...
We don't know.
I don't know. You know.
He is buried in Brooklyn in the Greenwood Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go see his grave if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm proud of this. Like, we've been making money on Wall Street for a long time. I think people don't know that, you know. And
then giving it away to white people.
Oh,
but
my
I'm
gosh.
Just saying,
Tiffany.
And listen, I want to be clear about something. Like, I am all I don't have any issues with interracial dating. All of my brothers have been married to white women.
Yeah. Can I tell you about some of his controversies? First of all, what?
I'm just saying. Like, I don't have it. This isn't like a black white thing. It's just like, if we're thinking about history and why this didn't have a longer, like, why this isn't like something that we're hearing about, it's probably because the wealth didn't stay in the black community.
Yeah, I don't think that's why, to be honest.
Okay, what's your story?
Well, first of all, I didn't know that. So the wealth in your family is going to go.
Oh, my brothers have no wealth. Be clear about that. Yeah. So no one's getting anything.
So remember, you've heard of like the robber barons?
Yes.
These were like the Vanderbilts and the J.P. Morgan and all of these folks, the Carnegies.
Mm-hmm.
This was the robber baron era. Like, this is when these oligarchs, these mega billionaires were being created.
Yeah.
The fact that we had a black one
is fire.
I'm not surprised that we don't know about this guy. And I think
to not perpetuate our ability to create and be a part of such a time.
It would give us hope. Like this is during the time of slavery. The reason why he wasn't a slave, he's Haitian. He was born in Haiti.
Okay.
Haiti was, again, the first nation of freed black slaves to get its independence. That made him a free man.
Wow. That's dope.
Yeah. Jeremiah Hamilton. He had some controversy, so he allegedly.
Here we go. You cannot now give the allegedly.
Okay. Sure. At some point in his life, he was selling counterfeit coins. Sure. They caught him with that. He had to hide out from the authorities.
Okay.
He did insurance fraud. He bought a bunch of insurance on boats and then lit them on fire.
Listen, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. I thought like he killed somebody. He didn't kill anybody.
He was ruthless. He was cutthroat. Like even people like Cornelius Vanderbilt, they said that this man was ruthless in business.
But they weren't going to say anything good about him anyway.
He was not afraid of me. Like everybody was afraid of this man, but Jeremiah Hamilton.
Good.
He stood up to him.
All right.
That's our Black History Month.
This was controversial. This was scandalous and controversial. Yeah. But...
He filed bankruptcy, but then He came back. He filed bankruptcy. Got rid of a bunch of debt, came back, and still died with $2 million.
Yeah.
That's
a lot. Your Black History moment got a little Maury in it. It's a little Jerry Springer-ish. It's a little all over the place.
I'm proud of him, first of all. This is my great-great-great-grandfather in some kind of way.
That's why I was going to,
Hamilton.
I'm going to leave it right where it's at.
Jeremiah G. Hamilton. Big shout to him.
Not a big shout.
Black History moment.
Small shout to Jeremiah Hamilton.
$2 million. In 1875, that's loot.
His ancestors, his white legacy probably has no clue about their great-great-great black grandfather.
But he did it.
He did it. That's true. Yeah. And you cannot take that away from him.
And look at you. You're building a great legacy that is going to be...
Don't put me in here with him.
You're building a great
legacy. I'm not burning nobody's nothing.
I'm just saying you're not going to have kids. So it doesn't mean that this legacy is not great and substantial. Like you're going to give money to charity and to your friends and godchildren and all that.
Facts.
Maybe that's what Jeremiah Hamilton did.
That's not what he did though.
Possibly.
It's not.
Probably.
We know exactly
Most likely.
What he did.
Yeah.
If I had a spouse, they would get my money if I died. That's just how it goes. So we know where the money went. It's no secret.
Yeah. All right, guys.
First of all, y'all slide in my DMs enough. Let's be serious. Y'all slide in my DMs enough.
Okay.
We don't need to add to it.
Okay.
And if you do slide in my DMs and it works out, I've always said you're signing a prenup.
So the wealth is not going to these guys.
The wealth is not going to y'all.
Just did a bait and switch.
It's not a bait and switch. Like
you just finished saying it's gonna go to him, but then
that's Jeremiah Hamilton. That's what he decided to do. I'm not going down that road.
So what are we talking about today?
Prenups?
No, that's not what we're talking
about. Yeah, seriously, y'all. If y'all slide in my DMs, and if this happens, I don't know why y'all really take me seriously on this podcast with the things that I say, and y'all slide in my DMs very nicely though. There's never been any type of disrespectful. Good. When people shoot their shot, it's always very courteous.
I appreciate that.
But you have to sign a prenup. You're not getting anything that's mine. I don't want anything that's yours. How about that? It's not that you're not getting anything that's mine. I want you to have everything that's yours.
That's a beautiful way to start.
Beautiful.
All right. So we're talking today about the market.
Yes,
we
are.
The market's been a little crazy.
It's been crazy. And I think people are a bit concerned. Because y'all are calling. Clients are calling. There's a bit of a scare happening.
Yes.
Like the market's been tanking. Like That's just what's straight been happening up. Straight down, not straight up. It's been straight down.
Straight down.
in a number of different ways, especially in, you know, some of the stocks that I think people always think are like always just great, like the Facebooks or the Metas of the world, you know, like
Netflix,
Google, like people just automatically assume like those stocks just go up, 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 up. But
sometimes they go down.
Sometimes they go down. And I just want to start by saying, like, before we even get into everything that's actually happening, if you're an investor, remember this.
Not a trader.
Right.
Big distinction.
Big distinction. Listen, we talked about that already.
Last week.
Yes.
Go back. Listen.
If you're an investor, I really want y'all to write this down.
Okay. All right. Let me grab that.
Let this sizzle in your spirit.
Sizzle in my spirit.
Yes. Stocks have to go down in order to go up.
Wow.
This is the only way you can make money.
Yes.
Like the only way you can make money is if you buy stocks.
When they're low.
When they're low so that they can go high.
And then you sell them when they're high. You just dropped a jewel.
Okay. So the panic, the fear mongering that happens, the innate, everything's going down. Things have to go down.
To come back up.
To be able to go up.
That's a word.
That's a word.
I could preach a sermon on that.
We're going to put that on our voicemail.
Yeah.
For all the clients that are calling.
You know what's crazy? So, you know, this week Meta, which is Facebook.
Not Method Man. Sorry. I do have to slide off on this tangent.
My God.
To the ladies.
Oh, my God.
To the ladies. If you have not seen this new Method Man Essence cover, first of all, it's a digital cover. So he's moving. It's movement. I mean, could I invest in Method Man? Is there a ticker? M-E-T-H-O-D?
Man.
I mean, good God. Like, that man, I literally wrote on someone else's post, because every woman has been reposting this Method Man Essence photo shoot, because it is Black history.
And which Method Man you like the best? I haven't seen it. Do you like the Lawyer on Power Method Man?
So
or you
it's
like
giving,
the rapper Method
so
Man?
So it's giving more Lawyer on Power with an edge. With an edge. But I'm not going to lie. I've always been, even with sitting in the Mary video with his hair half braided, I was still there for that Method Man.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I was talking about Meta, the stock.
Right.
Not Method Man and not...
But it's Black history. And so you had your Black history fact. And my Black history fact is that Method Man is fine as hell.
Okay.
And
all
need to go and look at this digital cover on Essence.
Is there a mute button?
I don't even follow Essence. I don't even know what Essence is doing right now.
She's still talking about it.
But they did this with Method Man.
Okay. So we were not talking about that.
Right. Meta. Meta's down, which is known as Facebook.
Yeah.
Everything is down. And it's bleeding red right now. And it looks like it's just all bad news. And again, we're going to talk about what's happening.
Yeah.
But we do want to say, like, chill out on the panic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as we mentioned in our previous episode, investors versus traders, you're in it for the long haul. There's going to be some good days and bad days.
Yeah.
These are some of the bad days.
Shake it off.
You will be fine as long as you can stick it out.
Get ready to buy something.
Facts. It's a fire sale happening.
Yeah. Can I talk about Meta for 1 second?
Sure.
And I'm not endorsing the stock and telling you to buy it, but I did talk about this on CNBC this week.
Yes.
They had me on television.
Alan is often on CNBC. If you guys think we're just like bluffing, we're just making this stuff up. Like, this is actually really what we do all day long. And people know that about us.
And my tie was crooked and...
No one said anything.
Our new hire just looked at me and then at the end said, "Hey, your tie is crooked." I'm like, "Dude, why don't you tell me? You've been sitting here all day."
Yeah.
Tie was crooked.
Wow.
Yeah. But either way, Meta stock in one day dropped like 25%.
That's major.
To me, this is how I think about this as an investor. Imagine there was a pair of fresh Jordans.
Imagine,
Jordan
12s. Even better. Imagine a house that you were getting ready to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the price 25%.
So it dropped from 400,000 to 300,000.
Now, are you going to say, this is a horrible market? You know what? Something must be going wrong here. Or I don't want to live in this neighborhood anymore because the property value is going down.
Mm-hmm.
Or if this is the house that you really wanted, are you going to say, oh my God, this is great, I'm buying?
Yeah.
Because I believe that it'll go back up to what it was, if not better, because I believe in this house.
Yeah. Well, that would be me. I'd be like, well, look, do the pipes still work? Is the,
right.
You know what I mean? Is the tile still laid down? Is the roof solid?
Right, because it's not like Facebook fell apart. It's not like the site crashed, the platform went away, the ads stopped coming in. The ad revenue stopped coming in.
Yeah, none of that happened.
None of that happened.
Yeah, they basically said, we grew our revenue more than what y'all thought we were going to grow it, but our profit is a little lower than we thought.
We've been spending a little too much money.
But we're investing in the future.
Facts.
And so I look at that, I'm like, oh, it's on sale. It's a time to buy. In general. Now, I'm not saying every stock that has dropped means go buy it, but I'm saying if there's a stock that you believe in, if there's a company where you've done the research, you like the strategy, you see where they're going, you're spending your money with that company. And a lot of us are spending our money with Facebook. Yeah. Like, we're spending time on Instagram. We're spending time watching these Facebook reels. Look at the stock. I'm just saying, look at it. It's on sale. So let's talk about why the stock market is going crazy.
Yeah, because I was going to say, let's be honest about what's really going on. Like, this is the real tea of what's actually happening.
Well, first, we've got to start with COVID.
Yeah, that's still happening. Even though we're acting like it's not happening, it's still happening.
It's still happening. So we had a big scare of Omicron.
Yes.
Tiffany tried to call it Omarion. It is Omarion. Okay.
Omarion. Touch.
And that was right after the Delta variant. And this variant, this Omicron variant, is now something like 99% of the new cases, right? And so the issue with this variant had been that it's very contagious, but thankfully it hasn't been as deadly. But when the cases started to spike.
So I just want to be clear, it's not as deadly for people who are vaccinated.
Yeah. And in general, because more people are vaccinated now, it has not been as deadly, period. Okay. But when this started to spike up, people started to be worried that we were going to have a new wave of shutdowns. That hasn't been the case, again, because the death curve has not elevated. So Omicron, though, was one of the first things that started to scare the stock market in late December. The next thing that really started to scare the market, it was inflation. We've done a whole show on inflation. What's funny, we did a show on inflation like a year ago. Not that we've got a crystal ball. But it's apparent that when you restart an economy that was closed, like, things are going to start to go up. The prices are going to start to go up.
Also, inflation is forever. Like, this isn't a thing that's going to go away.
No,
things are going to increasingly get more expensive. Like, you don't have to be psychic to know that.
Yeah. Slice of pizza is not a dollar anymore.
Facts.
Okay. And inflation is basically, it's the thief in the night. It is causing the cash in your bank account to be worth less right now. Inflation is the reason why everybody should be investing.
Very true. This is another one of those moments. You need to write this down.
Write it down.
No, seriously. As Alan mentioned, like, inflation is always going to happen. This is a real thing. Things are always going to get more expensive for whatever reason, right? Whether it's the economy, whether it's just because, things are going to continue to get more expensive. The reason, a very primary reason why you should be invested is just to beat out inflation. Because if your money is just sitting in the bank, it is getting less valuable. It is worth less. It'll be worth less today than it is tomorrow, even if you don't spend anything. So just having your money invested allows you to, at a minimum, beat out inflation.
Absolutely. Inflation is on the rise. Inflation, we started to see numbers that we had not seen since like 1982. 1982.
I know where you were going. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was 5 years old at the time.
And I was
exploring the world.
I wasn't born just yet, but I was on my way.
But inflation was high back then.
Yes.
Like, we had a recent print of inflation at 7%. 7% is a lot.
That's a lot.
Like, for the whole economy to go up by 7%, baked into that number, you've got housing. So rent has gone up. House values have gone up, which means your mortgage is probably going up.
But the price to buy a house is also going up.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's more expensive to live in terms of where you spend the night.
Amazon Prime has gone up.
Not
7%, though.
39%.
And what are we going to do? What am I going to do? Cancel it?
You're just going to eat it.
I'm just going to eat it.
So inflation is becoming a big thing. Inflation, again, it's every basket of things that you spend money on. Goods, services, all that adds up to inflation. The biggest inflations really come from energy prices. Like, when you look at that gas pump is high, ain't it? Have you noticed that?
It definitely is.
Imagine.
So
if
I just want to say something about that.
Okay.
So we did the show about buying a car. Everybody knows that I bought a car, right?
No one knows what type of car. It's a Gucci car.
We said it's not a Gucci car.
Basically, it's a Gucci car.
It's not that. But I went from a, I guess, economy level car.
To a foreign.
I am in a foreign. They put me in a foreign.
They put you in a foreign.
They put me in a foreign. They really did. To a foreign.
Yeah.
And gas is, like, I have to, you know, I'm back in only premium gas. Like,
you got a budget for that gas now.
You know what? Let me tell you a flex. I don't really flex on here often. I went to the gas station the other day, fill it up premium. I was damn near on E too. Fill it up premium, handed him the card. I didn't realize till
who looks at the price tag.
I didn't realize until like 2 hours later that I don't even know how much it cost. I didn't even look. I didn't even look back. I ain't asked for no receipt.
Throw it in the bag.
I was feeling good that day, but I know it was expensive as hell. Like this, I'm already
throw it in the tank.
I was in a like fuel efficient vehicle, and now I am not in a fuel efficient vehicle.
That thing is guzzling.
It is guzzling gas. Gunk, gunk, gunk. It really is out of control.
Did you ever look at your bill? Like, did you look at your statement?
No, I didn't. It already happened. What am I going to do? Yeah. Give it back? I just did not realize. And I said to myself, you're wilding. Like, you didn't even look. You don't know how much.
That's how you
just
spent. I don't even look no more.
There's nothing I can do.
I say, fill her up.
I done bought the car.
These are life
goals. It is a gas guzzler.
I would love to be able to go to a gas station.
Whatever.
Like, hey, just fill it up. Just drive off. Keep the receipt. It's all good.
I was wilding.
I aspire to be there too one day.
I was wilding that day. But we are talking about what's happening in the market. There's a lot going on. It's looking super scary, but stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
What's up, North Star family? This is Donnie Rose, and I'm excited to let y'all know about the Word Life Podcast, the latest podcast in the North Star Network that I am hosting. Each week on Word Life, I will be exploring the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution, and unpacking the messaging, lyrics, and themes of poetry and music, both classic and contemporary, that function as the heartbeat, baseline, and bottom line for radical change. Be sure to check out episodes of Word Life, dropping every Thursday wherever you enjoy podcasts, and let us know your thoughts. Peace, creativity, and revolution.
So we are back.
Yes.
What's happening in the market?
We got a full tank of gas.
We got to listen. By the time I got home, it wasn't a full tank of gas anymore.
It cost a lot.
It cost a lot.
We have no idea what it cost.
Listen, because of inflation.
She got 99 problems, but gas ain't one.
I hope. I hope. It's still early.
So we were talking about inflation before the break.
Yes.
And that's the erosion of the dollar in your pocket right now.
Correct.
The Federal Reserve is out here with the goal of keeping inflation in check while also trying to keep employment as high as possible while generally keeping an eye on the economy, right?
And it's a big job.
It's a big job. And the Federal Reserve, I mean, imagine if you had to do all these things at once, right? You've got a pot on the front burner where you're making some, what are you making in a pot on the front burner?
I don't know, grits.
Okay, you got grits cooking.
Okay.
Okay. You're trying to mix up the pancake batter over here.
Okay.
And meanwhile, you got to tutor your kid with the homework. And it's just one of you.
Something's going to burn.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Something's going to burn.
So the Fed's got all of these different things they've got to do, but they've got a very limited toolkit to do it with.
Okay.
The only things that the Fed can really do, the first thing, they call it jawboning.
What?
That's what they call it. They call it jawboning. And this is Wall Street words. I'm just telling you the words. I don't make this up.
Jawboning? Y'all think that's okay to use that type of language?
That's talking shit. Excuse my language, kids.
In financial sector world,
they jawbone.
They think that term is better.
Is this thing on?
It is on.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they do. They get on a press conference and they talk their stuff. They're trying to talk confidence into the market
by jawboning.
They're trying to encourage people to.
The patriarchy is real, y'all.
Call it jawboning.
Men would think that's a good term to use.
I didn't make this up.
Jawbone.
Yeah, so that's their first.
That
tactic.
Feels racist. I'm gonna just put it out there. It feels very slaverous. Like it's slavery-ish. It really is. The origin of that word, I am sure, is rooted in injustice. But okay.
right?
Go so for it.
That's their first tool is they can jawbone. They mm-hmm. can get on the mic and start talking to try to inspire confidence, to give people an idea of where interest rates and the economy is heading, right? Mm-hmm. That's why when the Federal Reserve is speaking, all the television cameras go to the Fed. That's news because they're up there jawboning. Okay, that's the first thing that they can do. The second thing they can do is manipulate the short-term interest rate. Like they have a chance to set the interest rate. They call it the Fed funds rate. That's the rate that banks borrow and lend to one another on an overnight basis. And the reason why it's overnight is that the banks, every night, they've got to make sure they have a certain amount of reserves on deposit with the Federal Reserve to make sure that their solvency ratios are kind of intact. Meaning like if I've got a dollar worth of loans, I need to have 50 cents worth of assets, worth of cash, right? And if I am a little short that day because people have been going to the ATM, I need to then borrow some money from the other bank. And the rate that I borrow at is set by the Fed. Now, the reason why they manipulate that rate is because that is the one thing that they actually control, which then has the impact of setting the rates that banks lend at later on, right? So meaning like if the short end rate goes up, the Fed funds rate goes up, when it's time for me to now issue credit cards, I'm going to probably charge a little bit more if I'm the bank. When it's time for me to issue a mortgage, I'm going to charge a little bit more because my cost to borrow as the bank just went up, right? So the Fed has a chance to manipulate the short-term interest rate, the Fed funds rate. That's the second thing that they can do. And the third thing they can do is go out into the market and buy stuff. Typically, they go out into the market and they buy bonds. And in buying those bonds and selling those bonds, they call that open market activities. Their goal is to try to, again, manipulate the interest rate curve in a way where they can push interest rates higher or lower. So those are the three things that the Fed can do. They got a pot of grits, they got the pancakes they're trying to mix up, and they've got to tutor their kid in their homework.
Okay.
Jawbone.
It's ridiculous. We should move on from it.
So the Fed this year has really caused a lot of controversy in the market because last year they were like, you know, this inflation thing, this is temporary. This is going to go away. And then in November, they're like, you know, we've been really looking at these numbers. Yeah. And this is a problem.
Yeah, but there isn't a real expectation that anyone knows what's going to happen from year to year, right? So for them to say, you know what, this is temporary for us to like really eat that up. No one knows. Like, no one knows what happens from year to year. Like, what if it's a new, again, what if there's a whole new pandemic? Like, a number of things happen over time. And again, I'm not trying to say that this is the only answer, but part of your protection in these type of times is being invested.
Yeah, no, that's
you know what I mean? Like, part of what is going to, I'm not going to say keep you safe, but keeps you in the game is having your money invested. That will help you offset inflation and short-term Fed rates. Like, that is what continues to make your money at least as valuable as the shifts that are happening in the economy. But the goal is to be more valuable.
Yeah, that's a fact. So bottom line, the Fed in November started to say, you know, this inflation thing's a problem. We're going to need to fight it. We got to fight back. And the ways that the Fed can fight back, we talked about the three things that they can do. But the bottom line is the Fed is saying, look, we've got to start raising interest rates. Raising interest rates is the same thing as driving that fancy foreign car that Tiffany has and putting your foot on the brake for the economy. Like when the Fed says I'm raising interest rates, I want you to hear we need to put a brake on this car. We need to slow this thing down. Okay, by slowing down the economy, we'll hope that inflation will start to slow down also. The reason why raising interest rates slows down the economy is that the cost to borrow goes up, right? So if you're buying a house and the mortgage rate just went from 3% to 5%, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but your budget of how much house you can buy
less house.
If your auto loan, you know, you go to buy a car and they say, you know, you got to pay 6% interest instead of 3%, You might look at a domestic car instead of a foreign.
But I get it. All right. Like the Fed, Jerome.
So the big thing that the Fed did is say, look, we're going to have to aggressively raise interest rates in 2022.
Right.
And that's the news. That's the thing that made folks say, all right, well, now we're worried now. Because if they're true to their word, then we're going to be slamming our foot on the brake. And that is troublesome to the stock market. And that's why the stock market has started to change.
Yeah, yes, sure. Fed, Jerome, all that. interest rates. First of all, I honestly don't even believe that the average consumer is even aware or mindful of when these interest rates really change, right? Like, I genuinely believe that the true consumer, the true retailer is going to buy what they want to buy, right? Like, they're not waiting until Jerome says what the interest rate is going to be. And then they're like, you know what? All right, so I need to not buy the foreign, you know what I mean? I need to buy the Ford. I don't really think that's what's actually happening. I think it's not something that's a part of our initial thinking when we're making a purchase.
But
I know that's happening.
Yeah.
To me, what I really see happening in the market is a very long overdue correction. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is way more pressing than Jerome and them, if I'm just being honest.
Rome's in the house.
Exactly.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, I don't think that's... I mean, I know that's what's happening, but what's happening to me from my perspective is that all the stuff has been way overpriced. For people who are investing and have been paying attention to the market, when COVID hit, there was a very brief dip in the market. And by brief, I mean like it just didn't last very long. But then everything went up, in my opinion. I think that things have been overpriced for a while. Like, I've always thought for example, Peloton. Right now, Peloton is in the dumps.
Sound like 75%.
Down 75%. The horror of it all. Okay?
And you flexed last week.
But it wasn't a flex. For me, I'm still up. But when Peloton was going up, like, as fast as it went up, mm-hmm. as high as it went up, yeah. to me, a person who is an avid Peloton adopter, adorer, you know, like, I'm all in on Peloton, I never thought it should be that high. I thought people were really overreacting. I did not think the stock should have gone up as high as it did. It wasn't warranted. Yes, I know it was a popular thing and it got very trendy for a second, but I thought, like, it was quite presumptuous,
yeah.
As high as it went up. So for it to come down as much, I personally am like, it shouldn't have been as high. Like, I think things are just getting back to a place they make more sense, right? Like, I just think as it's called in the market, a correction is happening.
Yeah, and let's talk about that word correction. So there's these words, right? So
not like jawbone.
Yeah. It was so funny. So we're throwing out words. So when the Fed is raising interest rates, they call that hawkish. That's hawkish. The Fed's being hawkish today.
Mm-hmm.
That's because a hawk picks up stuff and flies up.
Oh my God.
It comes down.
There were no women around.
They pick up
development
stuff and they fly up.
Financial terms.
Okay.
It was just a bunch of men in the room. They were like bears, yeah. hawks,
but,
jawbones.
But, Tiffany, if the Fed is lowering
rates.
Was
a rabbit?
No, that's dovish.
Dovish.
That's how a dove just kind of like, whoo, swoops on down. Just flies.
Y'all just had flashcards in the room. Just it was flashcards in the
dovish.
Room. Sure, it's dovish.
So the Fed is hawkish right now, but you mentioned this word.
Correction.
Correction. So these words actually have scientific definitions. So a correction is anytime the stock market goes down by 10%, but less than 20%. So anytime it's down between 10 and 20, that's a correction. A bear market, and it's called a bear market, Tiffany, because, and you love this, when bears fight, they swipe downwards.
I have nothing to do with this.
That's how they fight.
I've never seen a
bear
fight.
So a bear market is anytime a stock or the market goes down by more than 20%. So you might say that, you know, there's a bear market in Facebook right now. There's a bear market anytime the whole market goes down, but you might also ascribe that word to what's happening in a specific stock.
Right. I guess what I'm saying ultimately is that I think we were wilding.
Yeah.
So, I think the market was out of control.
So let me give you a stat on that, right? So we've done a little study, we've gone back 42 years. On average, 32 out of these 42 years, the market has gone up. But in the middle of the year, on average, every year, just about every year, the market drops by about 14% during the year, on average. So meaning even though 75% of these last 42 years, the stock market has gained. For most of those years, there was a decline in the middle of the year by at least 14%.
Well, it ain't the middle of the year. It's the beginning of the year.
At some point in the year.
Yeah.
Not saying June.
I got
you. At some
point
in the year.
I got you. But again, this is just my perspective. I think the market was just way too high. I think everything was increasing super fast without any valid reason. And so, again, I'm just going to use Peloton as an example. Peloton coming down as far as it did sucks for people who bought high. Like I mentioned earlier, like stocks have to go down to come back up. Like, so for the people who bought Peloton high, this is unfortunate. But I think Peloton is coming back down to where it probably should have been, like back down to reality. For me, who bought Peloton when it was very low, I'm still up in Peloton. When it was up like crazy, I was happy about that, but I was also like, this is wild.
Did you sell any since it's going down?
No.
Would you consider maybe buying some?
Yeah, I did. Mm. I actually bought some Peloton for my best friend.
Someone else that you know bought some too recently. Just saying.
I bought Peloton for my best friend very recently.
You love her?
I love her. And it's down. And Peloton is going to go back up. It never needs to go back up to as high as it was, at least not under its current offerings and availability. If there's some major changes, some you know, new equipment development and things like that. But just because, like, things were going up just because. But Peloton has been having horrible, horrible days. Down, 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 down. Mm-hmm.
It's down yesterday, too.
Yes. And I was like, let's buy some.
I bought some.
Let's do that.
I bought some Meta stuff.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Netflix, too.
There we go. And this is what I'm saying.
A little bit. I just bought
And we're
a
not
bit.
Saying that
Took
that's what
nibble.
You should do, but I am telling you the way that we think about things and the strategy that we think about. Yes, it hurts what your investment portfolio looks like right now. But again, if you are an investor, this is a long-term play. Please, please just calm down on the freaking out. Now, if you are retiring tomorrow, be nervous. Call somebody. It is a new conversation. You might have to work a little longer, or you might have to hold out on some of your travel. But for people who are still in it, who still have some time to go, who still plan on remaining in the market, it might be a time to buy.
Yeah, that's a fact. So the market, the big question for the market right now is like, what happens when the Fed starts pumping the brakes, when they start acting hawkish? Does it create a bear? Does it create a bull? A bull, it fights
like,
up.
Are we at the zoo?
The bull, it bucks up, upwards.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's a bull who, market. So
I'm just, for people, anybody who works in the financial sector, have you seen a bull, a hawk, a bear,
a dove?
You've never seen any of these things. You've never been in the room with any of these things. Like, it's childish.
Or if you've seen them, have you seen them fight, fly?
Exactly.
Pick up food? Nah,
no,
I don't think you've seen a bear
things.
Fight. I think if Joker saw a bear actually fight, they would be scared. Like fighting towards them,
right.
Swiping towards them.
Instead of saying, I'm inspired to now, that reflects what's happening in the market.
So we did another
study. It went
study.
Down or went up.
We did another study. We looked at every rate hiking cycle going back to 1994, right? Because again, Fed's pumping the brakes. What happens to my stocks? What happens to my bonds? On average, after the Fed starts to raise rates, guess what happens to the stock market? In the beginning, in the first 3 months, it goes down by about 6%. But if you go out 12 months later, the stock market actually has risen by about 7% on average after the Fed starts to get involved.
Because things cost more money.
And even bonds.
The beginning is just like, I know they did not. Oh my God, this is crazy. Everybody's wilding. I'm not going to put a whole tank of gas in my car. And then you move on and you just start living your regular life and people and these companies start making more money.
Yeah. Now, that's a fact. You just broke it down because like the Fed's going to be jawboning a lot this year.
Oh, my God.
They are going to be. They're going to be rocking the mic this year. And every time they get up there, they're going to create volatility. They're going to raise rates. They're expected to raise rates anywhere between 3 and 6 times this year.
Right. Now, let's just stop right there.
Okay.
All right. Now, for all of our listeners who've heard this, the Fed is going to raise rates 3 to 6 times this year,
mm-hmm.
right? Just stop right there. So, and I'm being facetious, but just go with me.
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A gonna have 3 to 6 price increases this year.
Mm.
A couple pennies. It's gonna be a couple pennies.
I'm gonna be
it's
mad.
Not gonna be dollars.
I'm
it's gonna
be
a couple pennies, not dollars.
I'll be mad, but I'll buy it still.
You're still gonna go. These lines aren't gonna get any shorter.
Let me ask you a question. Just a serious question. I know they're raising the prices. I understand that, but will they still give me the same number of fries?
That's what I'm saying.
The waffle fries.
Are they still going to be extremely pleasant when they're taking your order?
Will they? Are they going to give me the free ice water that I asked
Absolutely.
For every time I go?
Absolutely.
Will I get the fried chicken, the spicy fried chicken with all the toppings?
Same pickles.
I don't eat the pickles,
but still,
the bun, they're not going to skimp on the bun.
All that's still going to happen.
So the price just went up a little bit.
Couple times. A little couple pennies, couple times.
All right. I'd like a number three, please.
And this is what I'm saying. And this is why we understand why the volatility happens, but we're not changing. Like, that's just not the nature of retailers, consumers, where we're just going to, we want what we want. We want the life experiences that we have. We like the things that we like. And if the prices go up a couple of pennies here and there from time to time, we're going to, excuse my language, bitch and moan about it for a little bit.
Tiffany, my mind.
I'm going to start cooking out. I can make my own chicken sandwich, right? But then it don't hit quite the same.
You'd be right back in line.
You don't have no Polynesian sauce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not quite right, you know? And you're going to go right back to Chick-fil-A. You're going to go right back to the gas station. You're going to go right back to the grocery store. People have been complaining for months about the price of oxtails.
Yeah,
the price of oxtails have gone up. Are you still ordering oxtails?
They sure are.
You damn sure are.
They're just complaining about it.
Right. So we're in a complaining phase. Everybody's upset. The market's upset because we're complaining. But the very first cookout, you're going to go get the oxtails. Like, we're going to get right back into the swing of our normal lives, and the market will ultimately recover. Now, again, we're being lighthearted. I'm not saying it's going to recover in 3 to 6 months. I'm not, but it will recover in some point, and that is the whole point of being an investor.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You wouldn't make money if it wasn't for the ups and the downs of it all.
Yeah, and there's some good things about rates going up, right? Meaning if I'm a saver, if I've got a lot of money in cash or in bonds are, again, you give a loan, you get your money back plus interest. That means the rate that I'm getting paid is going up.
Come on.
Hey, somebody got some investments out there.
Or if you own real estate.
Mm-hmm. You might be able to charge a little more rent.
You might be able to charge a little bit more rent. If you were getting ready to sell, mm-hmm. you might make a little bit more money.
Yep. If you're looking for a job, you might be able to say, look, the price of living is going up. I need a little more money.
I need a little bit more money.
I need a raise. So some of these things aren't that bad. It's just what's happening. And it happens all the time.
But it's also where you're positioned, right? It's not because if you are an avid credit card user,
yeah.
That's
a problem.
It's a problem.
And shame on you if you're not paying attention to the fact that you should be not using credit cards.
Or
so
just
much.
Trying to get out of your credit
trying
card
to.
Debt, right? But like,
trying to.
So if you're heavy on the debt side of things, again, especially with high interest debt, those things that you purchase, those things that you are purchasing that you can't afford are getting even more expensive. Like, you couldn't afford it to begin with. You really can't afford it now.
Yeah.
And you're going to be paying back a lot more for those items. So it really just depends on how you position yourself. And I think that's why we always talk about being diversified, being open-minded, being in the market, owning some real estate, you know, whether it's for your primary living or investment properties, like knowing about some alternative investments, things that are not correlated with the market. But it's because of times like this. It's because of all this mess that happens with the Fed, with correction, with bears, giraffes, all the animals in the zoo. I'm sure that you just don't know the term. You don't know long necking. I'm sure is a thing. So the whole point is actually being strategically invested in a variety of things with diversification that will help you ride this ride and come out a winner. Yeah. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'll take some long necking. I'm Alan.
Oh my God. And we'll be back. We're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and Brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
Show. So we're back.
Yes.
I feel like we are really like having a very adult conversation with a lot of people around what's happening in the market right now. It is, again, if you are just watching CNBC, if you are just paying attention to the headlines that are coming through social media and various news platforms, it could feel a bit scary. It could feel like the bottom is falling out of the market. Calm down.
Yeah, just relax.
Just relax.
Ox sales are a little higher.
Ox sale, but you still going to get...
Amazon Prime, sure, it costs extra $40.
Amazon Prime went up dumb high.
Yeah, they just like, now we ain't going up 7%.
But what, like, 40. Again, what am I do? I'm not going to cancel.
Yeah, you still need those packages the same day or next
day.
Damn
the packages. I need Amazon Prime. I need to watch the content.
Yeah, I started watching a good show on Amazon Prime yesterday. And it's worth the $39.
The day you hear about it, it sucks. But a year from now, when you've already paid it, you're not thinking about it anymore.
So let's break down our views more broadly.
What if Netflix went up to $30 a month?
First of all, Netflix is constantly raising their
Constantly.
Prices. And Jokers ain't. Matter of fact, Jokers are getting more streaming services. Like, I got my Netflix, now I got my...
The Disney Plus, Disney Discovery Plus. Yeah. All the pluses.
BET Plus.
I got that too.
See?
And I didn't want to get BET Plus, but there was a show on there.
Hulu Plus?
I don't have Hulu Plus.
Well, Hulu, is there a plus on
there
Hulu?
There is a Hulu. Hulu has all types of pluses, actually. I got the basic Hulu.
You know what I really
but
want?
But if Hulu prices have gone up, I'm riding with Hulu till the wheels fall off. I watch so much Hulu.
Yeah, you know what I really want? Like, I can't afford it right now, but if I had the money, I would get that YouTube Plus.
Would you?
Yes.
Why?
I'm on YouTube all the time, and they kill me with the commercials.
People with kids,
I enjoy watching YouTube with no commercials. I'm on YouTube every day.
Watching what?
Like, I've been watching the Sunday services recently. I watched them when they first came out, but I've been watching
the Kanye services?
The Kanye Sunday services.
That's just online.
Every day, every hour.
Just Google it. It's on.
And then it takes you to YouTube, and then they try to throw commercials on you. So that's my dream. If anybody wants to treat me to
a
month
make
of
him
YouTube
watch the
premium, I would take
make
that.
Make him watch the commercials. Okay.
So here's our views more broadly. So we're actually optimistic. I know it may not feel like it because we're talking about the Fed being hawkish. We're talking about the jawboning that's coming.
Oh my God.
But we're optimistic. I'll tell you some of the reasons why. Number one, people have got money in their pockets right now. Maybe they're not talking about it, but on average, we're at the highest level of cash that our country has ever seen in people's pockets. Now, look, I know
there's... Stop counting people's pockets. Stay out of people's pockets.
There's something like $5 trillion in cash in brokerage accounts right now.
Okay.
And look, I know there's wealth disparity, right? And it may not be true in your household. It may not be true evenly across the Black community. But on average, folks have got a little bit of money. They've had some stimulus checks. They've had some reductions in spending because of the COVID shutdowns. They may have adjusted to a new life where they're not going out so much. So there's a lot of reasons why people have money in their pocket and they want to spend it. Like, have you seen all the parking lots full? You've seen the waits at restaurants?
Yeah, I'm spending. I'm going to just put it out there. I don't know what it is right now. Like, I'm not as excited. I've slowed down on big purchases, big spending purchases. I've become very mindful of those. But like smaller things.
You're on it.
I'm on it. And I'm just feeling like throw it in the bag. Mm.
I feel like you always feel like that, but fine. So people have got money in their pockets. They want to spend it. That's a good thing. Because a lot of times when we're in a recession, folks don't have the money. They're unemployed. Like, our unemployment rate is incredibly low. Like, there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of help wanted signs. These are positives, right? The second thing I'll say is that household wealth is also at an all-time high. Again, I know it's not evenly distributed, but folks, 401ks are more valuable than ever. Went down a little bit in January.
But
people's home values are...
Here's the thing about that, and this is just my two cents on 401ks being more valuable than ever. I think it has to do with the market. Right. Like that's 100%. You being invested.
Yeah.
That is you being invested. That is it might not be because you're putting in more money than you were before. It's because your portfolio has been doing some magical things.
It's been growing.
Riding the ride.
If you leave it alone.
Dips and highs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been riding the ride.
Just
and
keep
it's
adding to it.
Keep adding to it. Stay invested. Please don't pull your money out of the market. Like it's riding the ride that's making these 401ks more valuable, not you putting more money in there.
Yeah. And then the final thing is that corporations are quietly doing great. Like, we're in the middle of what's called earnings season right now. And earnings season is when the companies come out and they announce how much revenue they've made, how much profit they made, and they give a little indication on what they think is going to happen in the future. And based on what they say, that really has a big impact on the price of the stock. That's why Meta went down.
I was
going to
say, that's the drama with Meta right now.
Meta came out and said, look, we made a lot of revenue.
But we've been spending a little too much.
Profit was a little lower than we thought. And next quarter, we think we might only grow by 10% in sales.
But to Alan's point earlier, what you alluded to is, like, again, the issue is not the making of the money, it's the spending of the money. They're spending a lot of money. And typically, when you find companies, especially tech companies, spending a lot of money, they're in development.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Something is about to drop. New things are about to come out, which are then later going to be reflected in those earnings reports, and they're going to be making more money. Mm. It's literally like whenever there's a new iPhone. Mm-hmm. There's a period of time where they're making new things, testing new things, mm-hmm. and they're spending more money. They're in development.
They're working on the next one.
But when that album drops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's when we see the big spikes. That's when people are buying in. That's when they're making more money. So it all does make sense if you actually pay attention. It's not just good and bad. There is a lot of strategy that happens here. This is the whole point of, I think, our podcast, is you understanding what's happening, you understanding how wealth really is created and taken away. Mm-hmm. But like having this understanding allows you to be more strategic in the decisions that you make in your own life, whether it comes to spending, investing, trading, buying cars, buying homes, and like all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, quietly, companies are actually doing great. So we've been watching these earnings reports. We've been doing stats on them. And about one third of the S&P 500, that's the largest 500 stocks in the United States, one third of these companies have reported their results already. Would you believe, Tiffany, that 52% have said we've made more revenue than we thought, more sales than what we thought, and about 50% also said they've made more profit than they thought. And only 10% of the companies have said, you know what, our profit's a little lower than we thought it was going to be, right? So most of the companies are either meeting their expectations or exceeding them. Over half the companies are exceeding their expectations. And
that's with Omarion. That's with all COVID. Mm-hmm. That's with everything that's going on.
Yeah. And at the, so what's really
Joe Biden he hasn't got rid of our student loans yet, but yeah, we still out here thriving.
If you're disabled, it's coming.
Yes.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, quietly, the news is actually good, but folks are focused on the negative. They're focused on, wait, you said all of those good things, but wait, did you say your sales might only grow by 10% next year? Like, that's the thing that people are paying attention to. It's the small thing of the future that's being, you know, it's the bad news that folks are harping on right this second.
Yeah. One of the, I guess, primary news stories this week around Meta was TikTok is killing Facebook, right? It's because of TikTok that Meta is down. Facebook just can't handle what TikTok and Snap and everybody, what they're bringing to the table. It's just, all I heard was, and this is Tiffany Hawkins, I'm not giving advice. So now I need to make sure I own Facebook, Snap, and TikTok.
I need to buy them all.
Right. Like, TikTok's not public yet.
Not yet.
But it just made me like, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
Something I need to look out for.
Yeah.
Excited about, because again, like, all of these things are emerging. All of them go through their ups and downs. They do all have an impact on each other, but there's room for all of them to win. Just pay attention to the things that you understand.
Yeah.
I don't think we're trying to make you know all the things about everything, but the things that you do know about, the companies that you do shop at, that you pay attention to, just be strategic.
Yeah. Because what we think is happening right now is that, you know, the party's not over, the DJ's changing over there.
Ah.
Have you ever been in a party and they
change the
DJ?
The transition period.
It's a transition.
That's when you got to go to the bathroom, get some drinks, hydrate, maybe sit down because your feet hurt.
Scope out a new dancing partner.
Right, possibly. But it's about to turn back up.
Yeah, so there's a shift. So the part of the market that's hurting the most is the unprofitable company, the company that has not made a profit yet. That company is struggling a lot. The companies that are doing great are companies that, you know, if you're in the energy business, like, again, oil prices going up, people demand is surging. I think there's also a shift towards value investing. When I say value investing, it's the opposite of growth investing. Growth investing is buying companies that are expected to grow their sales by a lot, companies that don't pay dividends because they're reinvesting all their profit into making more improvements inside of their companies. Value stocks are the opposite. Value stocks are companies that have been around a long time. They're in industries that may not be that sexy, and they tend to pay out a lot of their profits in the form of dividends. When I think of a value stock, I think of, you know, a company like a utility company, like a, you know, I think of like a water company or a shipping company, like companies that have been around a long time that you don't expect to grow by a lot, but that are just steady. They're just going to, you know, keep going, keep moving forward, keep paying out dividends, things like that. So the big shift is that these growth companies aren't doing great. Value companies, companies that, again, pay dividends, those companies are starting to be the pretty one right now. That's what the market likes right now. It's the value stock. And so bottom line is that, look, there's things to be nervous about. There's things to be excited about. The biggest thing that we want you to realize is that your best protection is to be diversified. Own the right amount of stocks, own the right amount of bonds. We've always said match your age to your bond percentage. Continuously add money to your portfolio. Invest for the long term, and everything's going to be fine.
I like that. Let's end on that note. We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary. With Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.